Okay, let's pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you this morning that we can come again, Lord, before you. And Lord, what a privilege we have, Lord, to be here in the house that we set aside for you. And Father, as we open thy word this morning, I pray that you speak to each one of us, myself included. And Lord, I pray that you challenge us. Lord, I pray that you break our heart where it needs to be broken. And Lord, I pray that you encourage our heart where it needs to be encouragement. And Father, I pray that when all is said and done, Lord, that the glory will be unto you, Lord, who made this possible. Lord, I also pray for Pastor that you bless him where he is this morning and the people with whom he's worshiping together. Lord, I pray that you bless the service there and give him also a safe trip back here in Chicago. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, this morning we're going to read out of the Gospel of Luke, chapter 24. Luke, chapter 24. Starting at verse 13. Luke chapter 24, starting in verse 13. And behold, two of them went the same day to a village called Emmaus, which was from Jerusalem about 70 furlongs. And they talked together of all these things which had happened. And it came to pass that while they communed together and reasoned, Jesus himself drew near and went with them. But their eyes were holden that they should not know him. And he said unto them, What manner of communication are these that ye have one to another, as you walk and are sad? And the one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering, said unto him, Art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and hast not known the things which are come to pass there in these days? And he said unto them, What things? And they said unto him, Concerning Jesus of Nazareth, which was a prophet, mighty in deed and word, before God and all men. And how the chief priest and our ruler delivered him to be condemned to death and have crucified him. But we trusted that it had been he which should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, today is the third day since these things were done. Yea, and certain women also of our company made us astonished, which were early at the sepulchre. And when they found not his body, they came, saying that they had also seen a vision of angels, which said that he was alive. And certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not. Then he said unto them, O fools and slow of heart to believe all that the prophet has spoken. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and to enter into his glory? And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded unto them in all the scriptures the things concerning himself. And they drew nigh unto the village whither they went, and he made as though he would have gone thither. But they constrained him, saying, Abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. And he went in to tarry with them. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread, and blessed it, and brake, and gave to them. And their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. And they said one to another, Did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us by the way, and while he opened to us the scripture? And they rose up the same hour and returned to Jerusalem and found the 11 gathered together and them that were with them. Amen. So today, this morning, I want to talk about this passage of Scripture. As I was thinking about what to preach this morning, and I was going through, I thought a couple things, and I was not feeling really comfortable with it. And then I came to this passage of Scripture, and while I was reading it, I was really getting excited about this whole Scripture. And the reason being, as a church, we've gone through a lot, and as individual, and lately I've been talking about the hope. It's not like what the hope that we have, or what the last two elections, that's not what I'm talking about. And I was like, up to this morning, the subject of my message was going to be when hope is gone. But this morning, while I was still thinking about it, I said, I don't think right about that when hope is gone. Because that's not the whole purpose of this scripture. My focus was talking about when hope is gone. That's what I'm going to talk. But if you read carefully this passage of the scripture, you're going to see when hope is gone, that's not the main thing. What do you do when hope is gone? What is the key thing? And today we're going to talk about Jesus as the hope from this scripture. And most of you know that in Jesus' time, the Jew were, or Israel was under Roman occupation. So they were not really a free nation because the Roman was pretty much dictating what they have to do. And even when Jesus came on the scene, they were still under Roman occupation. And one of the things that they did not like the most, anybody can guess, that we don't like most when come April 15th. Anybody? What is it? Is anybody here like to pay taxes? Anybody? Well, I don't, but I heard a preaching that also gave me under conviction about taxes. There was a right tax and there was a wrong tax. Because my first year when I came here, and I went to work for 2 weeks. My wife was back home. I was not excited. Minimum wage. So I'm doing math in my head. Okay, 2 weeks pay at $5.50 an hour. I was like, oh boy, for 2 weeks I'm gonna come out maybe around with $4.80. That was my. I was like, okay, with $4.80, oh my wife's gonna be surprised because I'm sending him $200. And after 2 weeks. When I came from Greece, in Greece I was not paying tax. So, it was a really big shock. So, here we line up at United Airlines here where I was doing cleaning. And the supervisor who was a member, former member of our church, that's how I got my first job. So, he's calling people's names, so handing us our checks. So, I was all excited, my first paycheck in America. And I didn't tell my wife anything. I like to do surprises. So, I was like, she's going to be just surprised. Go to Western Union, here's $200. And Ronnie's calling names, handing out checks. And I get my check. I look at my name was on it, excited. And I open it. And it was like 320 something. I was like, hey, what's wrong? The name is mine. The amount is not correct. It's not mine. It's wrong. I work for 2 weeks. I should get 480. He looked at me, he was like, you don't get it? I'm like, what? He said, do you enjoy driving, coming to work? I said, of course, I like it. The road I pave, I'm enjoying it. And he was like, okay, where do you think Uncle Sam is going to get the money to pave the road? I was like, what? Uncle Sam need my money? It's like, because I looked at there, I was like, I have no clue what is Medicare, Social Security, all this deduction. I'm like, what is this? And he got to sat me down explaining. He said, you know what? In this country, you enjoy driving, but Uncle Sam doesn't have any money. To fund all these things, Uncle Sam needed some of your money. I was like, oh, I can't send 200. It's only 3. I was like, oh, ouch. So the Jews didn't like the Romans because one of the things that they have to do under Roman occupation was what? Paying what? Taxes. And if you want to see how they felt about that, talk to Zacchaeus, how he was treated by other Jews. Because they did not like Roman occupation. So to the Jews, they always look for a way. When are we going to be able to overthrow the Roman so we can be free of what? Well, beside tax, there was also physical abuse to the people who were not free because the Roman could abuse them because they were under occupation. So most of the Jews, in their mind, they were looking for what? For a hope, for a relief, for somebody who can come on the scene and relieve them of the oppression of the Romans. And then when Jesus came, and he called a group of disciples. And for these people, you're going to see when we go through this passage, you're going to see that even though Jesus called them, but in the back of their mind, they have something that they wanted to be accomplished. What was that? They wanted to overthrow the Roman occupation. Even though Jesus called them for a specific purpose, but when they followed Jesus, they got something that they want to accomplish. They were hoping that Jesus will be that what? The Redeemer, that what? That ruler who's going to help them to overthrow the Roman. So that's the background when we're reading this passage of the Scripture to see what's going on here. And because of that, Jesus, when he called a group of selected disciples, and this was the best, or we can call them, they were the cream of the crop, because not only when they were with Jesus, not only was a happy day, but they were also tried. There were also temptation and a tough situation. I'm not going to have time to go through that, but if you go to John chapter 6, you're going to read there how the disciple, many of Jesus' disciples, abandoned him because of his hard saying. So this group who made it to the end of Jesus' ministry was really the best that, humanly speaking, that you can find. So humanly speaking, the people who are with Jesus at the end are the best that human race can offer, because they went through tough time. And Peter would even say, Jesus would even tell them in John 6, he said, well, many people abandoned him. He asked them, why don't you leave? Or why don't you go? And Peter, as always, he always has the answer. He was like, Lord, no, we can't, because you have the word of life and we want to stay with you. So this is not the first time that this group is going to be tested. But as we're going to see, through the death and crucifixion, they were taken to the maximum that any human being can be taken. So they went through some trial, and they were kind of sifted through, and they made it through. They passed the test with flying color. So these are that the 12 disciples, the 12 apostles, except Judas, and the disciple, the faithful one who stayed with Jesus, you can count them as those who passed the test with flying color, because they stayed with him. And not only that, they were able, they left everything. You look at the disciple, each one of them. When Jesus called them, they left pretty much their business, because they meant really business with Jesus, because they abandoned their living and they followed Jesus. So these are committed believers, committed people who knew that Jesus was the real deal. Brother Cheng maybe can tell us more because he's in the finances thing. But these are people who put all their eggs in one basket. And financial people are going to tell you, when you want to invest, don't do what you don't do. Don't put your eggs in one basket. But these committed disciples of Jesus, they were like, forget about that financial principle. We know better. They put all their eggs in Jesus. They bank on that. They trusted Jesus with their life, and they left everything and they followed him. And not only that, you look at Peter. Peter even stepped further, took the sword to defend Jesus with his life when Jesus' life was in danger. So you're talking about a group of people who are committed. This was not a half-baked Christian. This was dedicated. You can call them the Green Beret. You can call them whatever, the top special opera. Those were the top of the top. But look at what's going to happen here when we're reading this, when we get to chapter 24. What's going to happen? They put their trust in Jesus. They bank on that. They abandon everything. But something's going to happen. When you go to chapter 1, verse 1, you're going to see that, well, their hope was pretty much what? Crushed. Because they banked that Jesus is the one who's going to what? Redeem them from the Roman occupation. But guess what? It didn't happen. What happened? Jesus was crucified. Jesus was arrested. And not only that, but he was crucified. And now he's dead. He's dead. And what's happened? They're pretty much, they're demoralized. They don't know what to do. And if you want to measure the magnitude of the crisis, Peter was fed up. You know what Peter did? He went home, get his fishing license. And he joined the Zebedee's son. He's like, you know what? For 3 years, I gave my life to Jesus. For 3 years, I was hoping. I was hopeful. And now what? What did I get at the end? What do I have to show off at the end? Pretty much nothing. And they were pretty much crushed because there was no hope. Jesus is dead. And when we picked up here in verse 17, and these two disciples, the Bible does not give us the reason why they were going to this village. But if I got to venture to say, maybe that was their hometown. Because they followed Jesus in Jerusalem. Things didn't work out. What do? You go back home where you got a better connection. Where you got a better chance of finding another way of life. And these two, the Bible doesn't tell us, but my guess was like, well, you know what? They hang their hat in Jerusalem. They were like, you know what? Cleopas, I'm done. For 3 days. Day one went by, nothing. Day two, nothing. And day three, they were like, you know what? I'm done. I'm going back to my old country. And I'm going to go find a job there. Do whatever I can to support my family. And they were pretty much crushed. Look at verse 17. The Bible tells us in verse 17 that... Verse 17, and he said unto them, what manner of communication are these that ye have one to another as you walk and are what? Are what? Sad. So here Jesus is dead and Jesus is resurrected. They don't know it or they don't believe it. But here they're walking back. They were like, okay, we made a bad investment. We put all our eggs in one basket and now they crash. And what do? They're walking down, maybe remembering all the stuff that they did the last 3 years. And here Jesus comes and joins them. But they are what? So crushed, they can't even notice. They were like, Jesus was like, what are you guys talking about? They were like, what? Are you the only stranger here? This is the big news. CNN of the day, Fox, everything was broadcasting this. He's done. It's finished. It's like you talk about 9/11. Can you find anybody in America who didn't know what his 9/11 was? It's like, you don't know 9/11? Where are you from? So this is what they're telling Jesus. It's like, okay, where are you from? Are you the only stranger who don't know about this? Jesus was like, what are you talking about? They were like, okay, let us tell you something. We're talking about Jesus of Nazareth. And folks, I want you to notice something here. Verse 18, when they started talking about Jesus, they said, and one of them, whose name was Cleopas, answering and said unto them, art thou only a stranger in Jerusalem, and have not known the things which are come to pass these there in this day? And he said unto them, what things? And they said unto him, concerning Jesus of Nazareth. Look at this. Watch this. Said, which what? What is the tense they're using here? Which what? Which what? Okay. So if you want to see how desperate they were, what? These are people that used to follow Jesus. These are people who witnessed Jesus' miracle. They noticed. They were the privileged, the inner circle of Jesus. But now they are so crushed. And they're talking about Jesus what? In the past. They said, what? He was. Folks, that's pretty deep. They were like, we're done. He was. He's no longer. But my Bible tells me that Jesus said what? I am. My Bible tells me that Jesus' name is what? He's the I am. He's not the he was.
But the disciple, the inner circle, the people who knew him better, but they are so cross, they can't find anything to hang their faith on. They were so desperate, they were like, he's past, but now let's keep us moving. We're moving, we got to find something. This was Jesus, he's past. We don't know what to do with him. We got to keep moving. But the Bible tells us that Jesus tells them what? I am. He's never been. Time cannot hold him back. The death cannot hold him back. And even the element of the nature cannot hold him back because he always is. And when people came to ask Jesus, or when God called Moses, and Moses said, God, if I go to the Jews and they ask me, who sent me? What name should I tell them? He said, you go to them. You go to my people, you go to the Jews, tell them, I am that I am. Sent me. But since the disciples are in a big crisis, they cannot grasp who this Jesus is. But he is the I am. He's never been the world, and time cannot pin him down. For time cannot pin him down because he is the I am. He said, I am that I am. I try to think on that. That blows my mind. How can you say tomorrow that you are I am? How can you say yesterday that you are I am? But that's what he is. That's who he is. He is the I am. He's not the walls, but he is the I am. And the disciple, they were so crushed that they can't grasp it. They were like, what? He was. Look at this. They're testifying that he was a prophet. With what? Mighty in deed and a word before God and all men. But they can't grasp it. They can't grasp it. That he is the I am. He cannot be boxed in time because he controls time. He is the creator of time. But because of the crisis, they lost sight that he is the I am. And let's keep going. And it's getting even better. And they talk about his death and his resurrection. And they said what? And how the chief priest and condemned him to death and have crucified him. But, look at verse 21. Says what? But we what? We trusted in him. So now we don't anymore. We made a mistake because we trusted in him. We had hope. But now what? We are hopeless because we don't have anything to show off. We made a bad investment because we trusted in him. But where are we now? Where do we stand now? We have nothing to show off. And they keep going. And they said, we trusted in him that he should be what? He should have redeemed Israel. And beside all this, this is what? The third day since these things were done. So they trusted Jesus, we're like, we trusted Jesus, but we waited day one, we waited day two, and this is what, day three, we're like, what? All hope is gone. Let us just go, because there's nothing. Nothing is going to happen. And not only that, but they even doubt the report that they received. But, yea, and certain women also of our company, made us what? Astonished, which were early in the sepulchre, and when they found not his body, they came saying that they had also seen a vision of angel, which said that he was what? Alive. They said, women again, maybe we should not even pay attention to those women. But well, the women went back there, and they came and telling us that what? He's what? He is alive. But you know what? You read the report of the woman, and when the woman came and report that, the Bible tells us what? None of the disciples did what? Believe them. None of the disciples believed them. And what's going to happen? He's continuing here. He said in verse 24, and certain of them which were with us went to the sepulchre and found it even so as the woman had said, but when I was going to school, the teacher told us
When I said something, if I put a but, what does it mean? But means what? It negate what? It negate. Anybody goes to school here? Come on, kids. Well, they were like, okay, the report is true. Okay, the woman went there and they came back with a report. We kind of, But some men also went. Some of us, okay, they went there. And what did they find? They found what? An empty tomb. But let's read. Look at that. Say what? And went to the sepulchre and find it even so as the woman had said. But him they saw not. So folks, here it is. They were like, okay, maybe what the woman said is correct, it's true. But where's the body? Where's the body? Where is he? Where is Jesus? It's good. But what does it good? What good is going to do to me? Where is Jesus? Where is he? The woman bring a report, and some of the men went there. They said, yes, the woman's report is correct. But him, what? They could not find him. How good is that to me? Because now, folks, when you go through crisis, sometimes even the preaching of God's word, you can go like, okay, I don't have a job. Or I'm going through some tough time. Or my wife is leaving me. Or whatever the crisis you're going through. You go like, okay, I heard you, brother, I heard you. But what good does it do to me? Because I'm going to wake up tomorrow, the same problem is going to be there. What good does it do to me? That's what they're going through. They were like, yeah, we didn't believe the woman. Yeah, some of our own brother went there and they brought the same report. But what? Where is he? We can't find him. What do you want us to do with that? He's no longer there. He's not. But him, they did not find him. Yes, the tomb was empty. The sepulchres were empty. But him, they found him not. What do you want me to do with that? How good is that truth to me? That's one of the things that pastor talks about, you know. Where's my truth in this? Okay. How can I bring it home to me? How good is this for me? Oh, no. Jesus goes here, and he's there. And I sat there. I'm thinking, I'm like, how would you like to be walking with Jesus? But they didn't know that he was there. And here they're going in crisis. And here they're going like in panic mode. They were like, yeah, they found out the truth. They didn't find him. And the skeptic will tell you, show us the body. Where's the body? It's the empty tomb. That's the proof of the resurrection. But even the disciple, the close, those who were close to him, they stumbled upon that. They were like, but him, they did not find him. No, whatever the reason, the tomb is empty. But the bottom line, him, they didn't find him. And he is the one that we trusted. He is the one that we put our trust for the last 3 years. Now he's gone. There is no hope. And verse 25. It's getting better. Verse 25. And the Bible tells me, says that in verse 25. Then he said unto them, O fools, and slow of heart, to believe. To believe what? He said, all that the prophet had spoken. So you see, folks, sometimes when we're in a crisis, we go cherry picking. We pick the verse that we think it's going to be better for us. We pick the verse that have a positive tone. We pick the verse, but we're just self-deceiving us. Because Jesus, as we're going to see, I don't want to get ahead of myself, as we're going to see in the following verse. He said from the scripture, all fools who are what? Slow to believe what? Some Bible verses? Is that what the Bible says? Is that some scriptures? No. He said to believe what? All the scriptures. Because you know what? For them to hang up with Jesus until the end, they did believe some scripture. They did believe some scripture. Otherwise, those who could not, they were
They left Jesus way there. But for them to be up to the end, up to the resurrection, they did believe some scripture. But Jesus said here, to believe what? All the scripture.
And as we're going to see, verse 26, before I get to that.
So, there was a happy day. So, because they were cherry picking, because they liked the positive one, they could not stand. They left out a good portion of scripture. Because the Bible, this was not a surprise that they just noticed this after the resurrection. This was, Jesus was what? All that the prophet has what? Spoken. And you read the prophet, they didn't only spoken about a happy day. But they spoke about what? You read Isaiah 53. What did he speak about Isaiah 53? He's talking about what? The crucifixion. He's going to come. But you see, sometimes it's easy to write on the glory time. You look at even the Zebedee son. I was going to use the changed bread, but I didn't ask the permission. But you look at this Zebedee son, these two troublemakers, John and John. You know what they wanted? The mama boys. You know what they said? They said, mama, making requests to Jesus. You know what they want Jesus? Jesus, how about us sitting on your left and your right hand when you come into your kingdom? That was good, man. Sitting on the right hand of Jesus? Oh, boy, that's good. That's good. That was a good Christianity. But when the crisis came, they didn't like that. But they wanted a glory Jesus. They wanted to glorify Jesus because John and his brother, you know what they wanted? They wanted a glory. They wanted a glorified Savior. And they were like, okay, mama, go make the request for us. The Zebedee boy troublemaker, mama came and made a request. How about the left and right side? That would be really good. We're going to be looking good. But when the crisis came, we know where you find the Zebedee boys. They hook up with Peter at the sea, back to their business. Because they were like, this Jesus thing didn't work. But Jesus said that the prophet has talked about all scripture. And you are slow to believe all the scripture. And he goes on to talk. Verse 26. He said this. Ought not Christ to have suffered these things and enter into his glory? And verse 27. And beginning at Moses and all the prophets, he expounded them in all the scriptures the things concerning who? The things concerning who? Oh no, I like a better marriage. I'm looking something about marriage in the Bible. I like a better investment. I like some advice from the Bible. But what does Jesus does when the crisis hit? He talking about what? No, maybe you should talk about self-esteem. Right. How to have positive thinking. But the Bible tells us what? From what? From who? From what? From who? From Moses. What is the first book of Moses? Oh, nobody knows. Is anybody there? What is the first book of Moses? Genesis. Oh my. You want to tell me from Genesis what to the last book? The Bible tells us that Jesus starting from who? From Moses. From what? From Moses. Genesis. Talking about who? Oh, talking about my hero, faith, right? What's wrong with that? So, he's not talking about a hero of faith. Talking about who? About himself. Folks, that's the main thing. So, Jesus himself, he said from Genesis to the end, whatever portion of the scripture they have there, starting from Genesis, he talks to them about things concerning who? Himself. Concerning himself. Because he is the focal point of God's word. So unless we grasp that, folks, we are not going to make it in crisis. Unless we grasp that, the whole Bible, it's not about you. Pastor has been slamming this very hard. The whole Bible, it's not about a cookie fortune, about building business, or having a good marriage, or having a successful career. Those are good stuff. Don't get me wrong. But the whole Bible, it's about who? It's about Jesus. The whole message of the Bible, it's about a loving God who sent His Son to redeem sinful people. And in crisis, you go like, well, he can use some pop psychology to boost the morale. No, folks, it does not work. It does not work. What did he do? You go like, wow, this is not relevant. Come on. People were hurting. And what he's using? He's using the whole Bible to talk about who? To talk about himself. You go like, they're going through a crisis. Yes, they're going through a crisis. But look at the therapy that Jesus used. What did he use? He took the Bible and expounding, it's like laying it down to them and talking to them constantly about who? About what? Himself. Folks, that's the message of the gospel. That's the message you trusted. That's the message you believe when you became the Son of God. And that's the same message that you need to trust. It's not about you. It's not about me. It's about Jesus. And Jesus only. Because that's what he did. In the middle of a crisis, he said, hey, fool, oh, you fool. Slow to believe what? The whole scripture. Because when you go cherry picking, there's going to come time when those cherry picking, when those pattern picking, it's not going to work. You go like, they were going here, they go like, well, the body's not there. What are we going to do? Well, you're going to go like, well, some people are going to tell you, you trust God, all your problems are going to be gone. Oh no, folks, that's not the Bible. That's not what he promised. He never promised that. But you took the Bible, expounding to them the whole scripture, explaining everything from Moses, from Genesis, to whatever they have then, talking about himself. So you want to make it through crisis, you got to go through the Savior, because he is the one. Let me keep moving. And and then, let's jump to verse 29. It said, they get to the end of their journey. Jesus tried to pretend that he was going further, and they constrained him and begging him to stay with them, because in those days it was dangerous to travel at night. Just look at the Good Samaritan story to get a grasp why they were begging him, why they were constraining him, because it was not safe to travel in those days at night, because you faced so many dangers. And there Jesus sat with them. And it came to pass, in verse 30, as he sat at meat with them, he took bread and blessed it, and break and gave to them. Oh, let me read it again. And it came to pass, as he sat at meat with them, he took the bread and blessed it, and break and gave to them. And verse 31, and their eyes were open, and they knew him. Oh my. So here are these two people, sad, disappointed. I don't know how they're working. Maybe with their heads down, going, minding their business, talking. No hope, hopeless. Then they met Jesus. Actually, they didn't meet him. He joined them. And not only he joined them, but he opened the Word of God for them. Do you see that? He opened the Word of God for them. And when he gave it to them, see what's going to happen. Those are demoralized people. There are people that discourage people. But you're going to see the change. What's going to happen? And after he broke the bread and gave it to them, the Bible says what? And their eyes were open. And they did what? They saw him. Oh my. So sometimes we open the Bible, we can't see him. Look at verse 24. They said, well, they went there. They saw the empty tomb, but him they see not. But here in verse 31, the Bible tells me what? After he broke the bread, what's happened? They saw him. And you're going to see the change. These people who are discouraged, these people who are going back to the business, the ensuing verse is going to say, you know what they did? They started running. They couldn't contain themselves anymore. Why? Why? Because they were going down. The eyes was closed. They couldn't see him. They were talking and they said, wow, our friend went there. The woman went there. The tomb is empty for sure. We got a lot of witness. It's true. The tomb is empty. But where is he? We can't find him. But in verse 31, the Bible says that what? They saw him. How did they see him? Because he opened their eyes. He opened the eyes through the word. And when he opened their eyes, and when they saw him, they could not contain themselves anymore. The Bible didn't give us the purpose of their trip, but as soon as they saw him, let's go back to verse 32, and says this. Verse 31, and their eyes were open, and they knew him, and he vanished out of their sight. Verse 32, and they said one to another, did not our heart burn within us while he talked with us, by the way, and while he opened to us the scriptures? They were like, man, Cleopas, how were you feeling when he was talking? He was like, man, I couldn't explain it. I couldn't explain it, brother. I couldn't explain it. But something was going inside when he was talking. When he opened it, I didn't tell you, but something was changing. Something was happening. Wow. Pastor always talked about ministering the word of God. He said, people are going to tell you, oh, I got to have a feeling. Oh, no, no, no. The Word of God, that's why we read it. That's why we have reading time for it. He said when he was speaking to us, our heart was burning. Something was going in. That's why the pastor now made it part of our worship before the preaching, to take the Word of God and to read it. Because when the Word of God was open, that's a ministry of the Word. It's ministering to us. They said our heart was burning within us. We couldn't talk about it. But something was going on. And when we take the Word of God, and we take Jesus, the focal point of our worship, of our service, and he said that something was happening. You go like, well, I got to have a feeling. Or they said, no, something was happening when the word was being read. When Jesus took the word, he said that something was happening into their heart. They didn't have word to explain it. They couldn't explain it. But they're testifying now. Something was happening. It was like, oh, maybe, I don't want to sound stupid. I don't want to sound strange saying that something was happening. But both of them, they go like, what's this happening to you too? What was happening to me? I was like, I don't want to talk. Maybe people are going to look at me strange. It's like, what does he have? Actually, this week, I look a little bit strange. I was at work with my headset on. And I found some old hymn in a celestial language, which is my father's language for you people. It's Kikongo. And I was like, I forgot I was at work. And I put my headset on. I'm working, recreating problems, software problem, and I was carried away to seeing the old hymn. And nobody could understand. I was there with my headset on. I was just I forgot that I'm in a cubicle. I forgot that it's a cubicle, so I'm there working, and all of a sudden, I saw my manager coming laughing. He's like, man, you're humming pretty good. I said, like, what? He's like, you're singing. I was like, really? I was like, oh. He's like, what are you singing? I said, oh, man, these are good old hymns. And I've been singing all this week, and my kids go, Daddy, what are you singing? And I was like, what is that? I said, oh, man, this is, I'm just singing the goodness of God, the faithfulness of God. I was like, these are old hymns. Most of them, you have it in English. Pretty much somebody, one of my friends pretty much went there and sang them and posted it on the web. And I was just relaxing, enjoying. So these two, they were like, I was like, I almost feel like embarrassed. But at least I was working. So my boss came in laughing. I was like, man, you humming pretty good. I was like, so I was like, oh, I better keep it quiet because I told my wife I was just carried by the Spirit, okay? So these two, maybe they were like, well, I don't want to sound an idiot talking about, you know, being the only one. But when the Word of God was being read, open to them, they have something going on. Sometimes we want to have things that we can explain. We want to see things that we can touch. But no, they did have something happening inside them. And verse 33, and say what? They rose up the same hour, returned to Jerusalem, and found the 11 gathered together, and them that were with them. So here was the change happening. So those people who went down in defeat, they went down discouraged. Maybe they went down already, they quit on Jesus because they were like him we could not see. But here they are, going back to bring back the good news of the resurrection. How many Sunday school kids are here beside mine? Okay, you guys remember Bible verse that Brother Bill is hammering you to memorize? Ephesians? How many of you remember that? Ephesians what? Say it loud. Ephesians what? No. Not say the verse. Just give me the reference. Ephesians what? Ephesians 1 and what? Oh, come on. I can't hear you. Ephesians 1 what? Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. That's where I'm going to close. Anybody can venture to say that verse? Ephesians 1, 17. Well, open your Bible. Ephesians 1, that's where I'm going to close. Ephesians 1, 17 and 18. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that ye may know what is the hope of his calling, and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints. And I will continue. And what is the exceeding greatness of his power to usward who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he wrought in Christ when he raised him from the dead, and set him at his own right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, and that
and have put all things under his feet, and gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him that filleth all in all." You go like, where are you going with that? Did you get that? So they lost hope. And the beginning of the of this portion we read, it said that they could not see Jesus. And verse 23 and 24, later on, Jesus opened their eyes. And when he opened their eyes, you know what happened. The Bible tells us in that, in the portion that we read, they saw him. And when they saw him, you know what ensued. They couldn't contain themselves. And they went to report on that news. And Paul prayed for the Ephesians. What was Paul's prayer for them? Verse 17, verse 18 says what? That the God, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and what? Revelation in what? In the knowledge of who? Of him. So you see, folks, the problem they had, they didn't know him. He was there with them, but they didn't know him. They went through a crisis. And Paul is praying, and pastor has been hammering this on and on, that this is what we should be praying one to another, for yourself, for your brother, for your sister, that God will give to us, that God will give to me, that God will give to you, what? The spirit of what? Wisdom and what? Understanding. Understanding of what? So you see, they pretty much threw away 3 years of their life when crisis hit, because they didn't understand him. But when Jesus opened their eyes, so you see what, that's what Paul is praying, that God will open their eyes, the eyes of the Ephesians, so they can know and understand and get the knowledge of him. And how, verse 18, he said that the eyes of their understanding. I told you at the beginning I was going to title my message, When Hope is Gone. Verse 18 says what? Being enlightened that they may know. They may know what? They may know what? The hope. In verse 17, he's not talking about hope. He's talking knowing him. And I said, what? The hope. Jesus is the hope. So you see, folks, the whole Bible, if we miss it, the whole Bible, it's about Jesus. And we need to go to God. We need to pray that God will open our eyes so we can see. Because when you don't see Jesus, folks, I don't care how many times you come to church, he's going to be meaningless. The whole faith is going to be meaningless, because they went to crisis. They were like, the tomb is empty. But him they found not. And you can see in the tone of the voice the disappointment. But when they saw him, when he opened the bread, when he gave it to them, and the Bible says that they saw him. Nobody sent them soul winning. They brought the news. They didn't get scorned because they saw Jesus and they could not contain themselves. I pray that God will grant to each one of us the knowledge and understanding of who he is. And he does that not through dreams, not through counseling,
But he does it what? Through this. Let's pray.